All right, Joshua. It's been a hot minute since we've done a podcast because we've done one recently with Renika. And so it's our turn again. And so, but before we start and jump into this, a crate showed up at the studio with the word Fragile on it.
Fragile.
And I'm going to take and show you. I'm not quite sure where it came from. I really don't remember who sent it to us. It's something around YouTube. It's a major award. It's a
major award? Okay.
It's a major award. Okay.
Oh, it's so fancy.
You ready?
Oh, my goodness.
If you guys can see that, again, it's a major award. I feel like we need to be standing across the street taking pictures of it.
I'm sure the neighbors see like a red light in the window.
Yes, yes. And so I don't recall actually who sent it to us. They gave me a choice of this or a gift card to, I don't know, $25, $50 gift card to whatever. And I chose this. And when it came in, I'm like, what in the world? I said, oh, that's that thing. So if you sent it to us, let us know because the packaging was a little vague.
Who's out there sending neon signs?
I'm assuming all major awards come in a little vague. That's what I'm assuming.
Extra tape around it, just to make sure.
That's right. So, whatever we did, I don't know if I was the baldest enough, if we're uncommon enough, but this came in as a reward or award. And so, okay.
That's enough electricity burned, yeah.
That's enough of that. So, I want to thank that company who sent it to us. So this podcast is going to be focused around the concept of trying to avoid the isolation trap. And so why doing life alone isn't part of God's plan. And so I can hear all the introverts out there like looking for the pause and delete button already. Yes, unfortunately, we're not called to be alone. And so we're just going to touch on some of the things that guys kind of fall into, maybe why, and what are some solutions to get around that.
Yeah.
So as we kind of look at this trap, some of the sometimes crazy off-the-wall stats and research, I might as well just ask chat to give me a stat.
Yeah.
Or was it Genie from Google that, or no, Gemini.
Gemini.
Gemini, yeah. That
Genie is funny.
If you just want made up stats, it's got you. So it says research shows that social isolation is associated with higher risk of poor mental health and even early mortality. That's from the American Psychological Association in 2022.
I guess that makes sense because that was right around the time of getting back from COVID. So they probably had a very large sample size of what happens when a large portion of people get locked down or alone, that kind of thing.
So obviously we're in 2024. COVID or some COVID variant will be around until your kids are getting flu shots or COVID shots. That's just the new flu. But can you remember back how you felt or how your wife felt when you had to kind of isolate yourself at home?
We were in a unique scenario because we had just got married the day before lockdown happened. Right. So for us, it was a little bit different than probably for most people because we're like, man, I get to live with my best friend now.
Sure.
Our first day of marriage was, oh, we get to stay home? Cool, cool. I like that idea. So for us, it was a little different. I mean, near the end part, it was a little bit frustrating because we had just joined the married couples group at our church.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of hard to start building friendships right before COVID hit. And then COVID hit, we couldn't meet for, you know, a year plus. Me and my wife are both introverts. So we're very much homebodies. So for us, it wasn't a huge thing, but I had her. If I was alone, I think I probably would have suffered a lot worse.
Sure.
I think I could only, you know, what is it? Idle hands or the devil's play thing, right?
A
workshop. Just the idea of being alone and not being able to communicate. Now, on the bright side, we had, you know, FaceTimes, we had Zoom calls, we had phones. Like, we have a lot of smart technology now that made it a little bit more you know, bearable. I mean,
imagine this happening 25 years before that.
Right, exactly.
Because alone was alone.
Yeah, because we FaceTime her family a little bit here and there, and they're only, you know, an hour away. So it's not like, you know, we couldn't get to them, but because of the lockdown. So, but yeah, I mean, I think the isolation trap is interesting because it's easy to fall into and not even realize it. Mm-hmm. Like, I have some friends who fall in this trap of, like, they either rightfully so or not rightfully so, they convince themselves that they are so busy that they can't even, like, you know, go out with friends and go to Bible study, go to church, see significant others or whatever the case may be. And I think as men, we like that idea, like, you know, oh, well, I'm just so busy with work. That's my defining trait right now.
That's my go-to.
Right. And so I find value there. People value my work. So I'm just so busy. I can't go and go to my Bible study on Wednesdays. That's just too hard.
Right.
And then that breeds more isolation. Because once you start getting to that habit of not doing X thing, it's harder to pick that back up. I mean, inertia is just a thing of, like, once you, I mean, we saw this with COVID. A lot of people stopped going to church during COVID.
Sure.
Because they weren't holding services in person. And then once those bans were lifted, a lot of people just still stayed home and watched from their PJs with a bowl of cereal kind of thing. And a lot of people found it hard to go back because they were just so used to, well, I roll out of bed, I grab my cereal and coffee, and then I watch the service online. This is awesome. I don't have to go anywhere kind of thing. So that inertia of convincing yourself you're too busy or kind of whatever excuse you have, I think plagues a lot of people with, I don't need other people. I just need this one thing that is my current, you know, identity.
Sure. It's interesting to hear, like, when in this case here, we have a good example of, like, COVID with isolation. Someone totally alone would probably struggle. And then I've heard stories, people in lockdown with a loved one that they may not spend a whole lot of time with was also a challenge.
Yeah.
Right. And so we've seen that come out of, you know, kind of the isolation piece. But ultimately, no matter if it's COVID or not, all of us are alone with God. Right. And so if we struggle to be alone with someone, let's say God, Holy Spirit, that's something I think that we need to work on and pray about, because I think sometimes I think guys think handling life's struggles on their own is a sign of strength. Mm-hmm. And if they have to rely upon someone or something, it's a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure we'll say it down in one of the other segments, but the worst thing they could do to a guy in prison is solitary confinement. It's a punishment, right? They remove all interaction with people, sometimes light in general, right? Yeah. They're just alone in the dark. That is a punishment. And so sometimes we get in our own proverbial cell alone in the dark by our own choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that not everybody deals with the same.
Yeah.
I'm an only child, and so I can handle being alone in my thoughts or in that empty man box easily. Mom described, I mean, she had a bit of cabin fever during COVID. So we would get out, go walk, that kind of stuff. But we've had other family members that would describe that period as trapped.
Yeah.
The word trapped was spoken.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in Genesis 2:18, then the Lord said, Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So even in the garden, before the fall, all the ends are overlapping. You know, this, everything's all good. It was still not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
God recognized that, saw that, knew that, and adjusted that. And so I think as we look at some of the lessons that come out of isolation, I think isolation does tend to breed some weakness. I think doing life alone can lead to feelings of loneliness, anxiety, depression. I mean, you get to see someone that's kind of been alone. They look like that bear coming out of the cave. They're all gray and they got to shake off the extra hair kind of thing. You could see that we're just not meant to be that way. You know, think of someone who's been alone too long. They're like, they're wearing like tiger stripe, red and blue pants, this Def Leppard t-shirt with stains, cheese stains on it. Mm-hmm. They haven't bathed in like 2 weeks. You know, they don't have anybody else to like say.
Soundboard.
You okay?
Yeah. You got to check on them.
You want to check a bath?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, to think about, because like, I think while we're talking about some isolation, we're talking about like physical isolation right now and some kind of aspects, but I do think it's important to mention that you can be isolated in very specific parts of your life.
Sure.
While not being isolated in others. Like, I know for me, I was struggling a lot with the idea of opening up about my shortcomings when it came to like stressing out about work and that kind of stuff and anxiety. While the outside, other parts of my life, I was like, I was going to Bible study, I was going to church, I was hanging out with friends, I was playing games. Like, it's easy to point to the idea of like, well, you're isolating yourself from the world as a whole, but you can definitely isolate sections of your life, whether that be work, your faith, you know, your struggles. And the rest of you be like, oh, yeah, no, I hang out with the guys every Friday. We go play golf on Saturdays or what the case may be. So it's kind of one of those things that we like to hide it in. We like to hide those weaknesses and among the strengths so that no one looks too closely.
Sure.
I think we talk about later on. But the idea of like, I've always been told the best way to create deep, lasting friendship is to be open about your weakness.
Yeah, you can see that our phones, right? Our phones are one of the biggest pitfalls to isolation. You see people that they're a room full of people and they're staring at their phone and they're just isolated from someone else. Someone says, hey, so-and-so, they don't hear it
because
they're like, boom, they're checking out social media, whatever they're doing. And so you can, emotional isolation, physical, mental, isolation can tap into a bunch of different areas. You know, God's designed us for connection. If not, the Great Commission would not have gone very far.
Yeah.
Right? You have to go tell other people. Mm-hmm. All the introverts are like, hey, you know what? Can I just send an email? I'll send you a text. I'll send you a text about the Good Commission or the good news. But we're created to live in community, share our burdens, and supporting one another through life's challenges. And so it is interesting that, I mean, obviously God knew that we were going to have all these, I won't say phobias, but just challenges with whether it be communication, being in crowded places, how we speak in public, whatever the thing is, right? And so I think it's important for us to have someone in our lives because none of us are that complete circle.
Sure, we all have shortcomings.
Right. And so you can imagine that someone who never addresses that, you get someone that, you know, boy, he's very quiet, you know. So maybe he's quiet for a reason, you know. Not everybody talks a lot, but people kind of don't talk because of some issue.
Sure.
And so, I mean, loneliness affects someone's kind of a spiritual health as well. I think isolating ourselves can lead to a spiritual stagnation, like you said about doing church at home all the time. You miss out on so much fellowship. Like our church just turned 20 years, which seems like a baby compared to some churches out there, but around for hundreds of years, right? Sure. Even in the States, there are some that are like, you know, we have a couple client churches that are like 150 years old.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Ours is a little bitty old baby.
Established.
20 churches, 20 years rather. And so you can see that you miss out when you don't engage in the body of Christ.
Sure. And you can, you know, we glean so much from other people's perspectives, stages of life, what they're going through. We talk a lot about mentor, mentoree kind of thing. But like just, I think the, you miss out so much on like accountability is a huge thing of sure. like, you know, well, it's really easy to pretend to be a follower of Christ if you're not actively participating in the body of Christ right. and having your life on display for other people. But also just seeing other people's perspectives on things. I'm going through a book club reading, reading the book Heaven and just talking through that. And some of the guys in the group have children. Some are currently pregnant. Some aren't, kind of thing, different stages of life. And it's interesting to hear them talk about the same book, the things that I never even thought of.
Sure.
And how that impacts them, or just, you know, side notes that they've read or seeing when they're reading the book, kind of thing. And you just don't get that the same way as if you just did the thing by yourself.
Yeah, I think that even in Scripture, I mean, Jesus got alone with the Father, but he never stayed alone, mm-hmm. right? There's times when we get to get away, kind of in prayer, seeking God's will, even some downtime for ourselves, but it's sure. never meant to. It was never meant to be, you're alone forever now.
Sure.
So,
I mean, if that was the case, then why did Jesus take all the disciples with him? Like, if it was possible, or if it was supposed to be, you're alone, why did Jesus eat, sleep, and walk with these men
right.
for so long?
Right. So our scripture reflection is Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10.
Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up.
Mm. Yeah, it's, I mean, we're all going through something. Either you're getting ready to go through it, you're in the middle of it, or you're just coming out of it. Mm. There's no, that's the three yeah. options, the three flavors you have right there, right? And so if you are doing something alone, I think it you prolong that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you're alone and you don't have anyone to talk to, whether it is the idea of someone giving you advice or you giving advice to someone else, or just, you know, having someone else be there in those moments of suffering with you, you know, it can feel very dark in those moments.
Yeah, yeah. And no amount of anxiety medication or Dr. Phil specials or none of that can fully help if we're not making adjustments, I think, from the root and our exposure to the Word and to prayer.
Yep.
So, so before we go into our break, our membership offers a pretty strong sense of community. I think connecting with other men who can walk alongside of you in life's challenges is a big benefit. Mm. And how we would suggest to do that is, and we have tons of blog articles and stuff that you can comment on. And we have some that thread is quite long.
Yeah.
People sharing where they are with that topic, talking to each other.
Yeah.
Even on social media, you make a comment, someone sees that and make a comment, that kind of thing. And so there are ways to communicate that. And then we have some of our small groups that get together mm-hmm. and with, you know, 5 to 50 guys that do life together. And so take a look at our website at uncommon.org and look at our memberships and see if one of those fits your need to start, because maybe you just have not run across a solution to help you take that first step.
Sure.
So, and stay tuned for our awesome special award winning sponsors. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. All right, welcome back to segment two of The Isolation Trap, building accountability in your life. And so we touched a little bit of this in section one, talking about maybe mentors, right? Mm-hmm. And so some research indicates that people with strong accountability partners are more likely to achieve their goal and grow spiritually. And that's from the Harvard Business Review of 2023. You know, many of us may not have a mentor to kind of go to and say, you know, I'm struggling with this here, kind of like that. But we do have people in our lives that could be that accountability partner. Mm. But here's the rub. Most of us do not want to be told that we're doing something wrong.
Right. Yeah. We want the accountability partner without the accountability part.
You're doing great. Get out of here.
Yeah. They were totally in the wrong. You should definitely know. You don't need to apologize for that.
You watch another Lifetime, baby. You deserve it. You just sit down and watch another movie.
I mean, I think it goes back to the idea of being vulnerable with these people too, because like that may be the bigger hurdle in the beginning part, because you have to find someone that one. I mean, most people in your life, I would say, are willing to be an accountability partner for you.
Sure.
But it's the idea of like, well, you have to understand that they can't be an accountability partner for you if you're not 100% truthful and honest with them about where you are, the shortcomings you have. And that sometimes can be a problem if you're trying to put up this facade of like, oh, no, I got it all together. I wouldn't need an accountability partner. I'm Mr. Golden over here kind of thing.
Sure.
And so that can, you know, it plays back into ego, right? The idea of like, hey, I don't want to show someone else, especially someone close to me, all these problems I have in my life. I don't want to show them the skeleton in my closet. And so that can usually be the first hurdle. But then the consistency, right? Like it's an ongoing process. It's not, I have an accountability partner. I meet with them once. Cool, I'm cured now. I've figured out what I'm struggling with. I found the golden bullet.
Right.
You know, it's a continuous thing. And then you may be the same for them on different issues. Because what I've found over the years is not, and obviously not everyone struggles with the same thing, but what you may have one accountability partner for like one aspect of your life. Sure. You may have someone for other things. Like you may be like, hey, that person is my person I go to when I'm struggling with my lust.
Right.
You know, this person over here, I go to them for any work and anger and wisdom-based pieces kind of thing. So it never is a one kind of fits all piece, but it's seeking those people out and being consistent with them. Because it's as easy to say if you have a large group of friends or family you can lean on in these capacities, but if you're isolated, whether it's physically, emotionally, or spiritually, this can be very difficult to find if you're not plugged into a church, if you're not near family members, if you're not plugged into friend groups of different hobbies and stuff like that. This can be near insurmountable.
And know that, say you get a mentor, to expect them to be everything to you, that's what Jesus is for, right? Your mentor may not have experience in what you're going through. They are a willing set of ears in a non-judgmental like area.
Yeah.
Or you may have a mentor that's going to give feedback. It may not always be like, wow, that psychology degree is not paying off for you. Oh, you didn't get that. I'm sorry. They're going to give feedback that may be not as beneficial or maybe a little bit harsher than they intended, maybe. Mm. Or you may not give any feedback because they're kind of listening.
Sure.
You might go there with like, looking for answers. So I ran across this TikTok account. I think it's a Showtime series, Marriage Therapy.
Oh, I've seen it a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, and so listening to these people and those poor psychiatrists. Oh, my goodness. Whew. You got to have a poker face.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have a poker face. Someone's like, giving you like, some story and you just gotta
Vulcan it kind of thing.
You can't like raise eyebrows and go, what? I would be fired in a week.
Yeah. You did what with the dog? You what shamed it? Why did you shame it?
Right. Why did you do that? We talked about this last time. And so I think one of the main reasons we isolate ourselves is we have something in our lives that we don't want others to know about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to change, and sharing that vulnerability with an accountability partner may lead to changes in our lifestyle that we really don't want.
Right, yeah.
Like, the devil you know, right? Mm. You're like, I'm comfortable in that sin or that struggle. It's the one I know.
It's not hurting anybody.
Not hurting anybody, and my coping mechanism, I love it. It's a gallon of ice cream and nonstop whatever scrolling thing I'm looking at, not the most helpful. And if you had a mentor tell you that, how many of us would be like, how dare you talk to me that way?
Right. Well, I mean, we joke about this whenever the pastor talks about something a little more heavy. Mm. We talk about tap dancing on the toes, right?
Right.
The idea that you have to be okay with someone coming into your life and kind of proverbially telling you, hey, you're messing up over here, and God's not happy about that.
Sure.
Because it's, I think we've come to this idea of like, well, if I can just tune out the Holy Spirit and the conviction I'm having with this, then I'm okay.
Right.
It's a little harder to ignore someone standing in front of you and say, hey, you're lusting after this person. That's not okay.
Sure.
And that just, I think that a lot of vulnerability there that a lot of guys that we don't grow up with that kind of like mentality of like, I want to be vulnerable with my friend today about all the struggles I had.
Sure.
You know, like that sounds like great time to me.
You can see it like the football game goes to a commercial and trying to, can I be vulnerable with you now?
I have 2 seconds before the next ad.
Like, no,
yeah.
We're at halftime. Where's the nachos?
I think that's where finding an accountability partner that, you know, is a Christian, because then that kind of accountability comes with grace.
Sure.
Because it's easy to find someone who can, you know, turn you into a punching bag.
Yeah, like, I'll tell you how stupid you are.
Yeah, exactly. I got 20 minutes. Let's do this thing. But finding a fellow believer in Christ that can give you accountability and give you real biblical advice, but with grace.
Yeah, I think that's the key to this. And know that it won't be addressed or fixed maybe one time that you tell someone mm-hmm. about what you're struggling with. But know that, and this is for everybody, TJ on out, you can't stay where you are and keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And because none of us are exactly where we want to be with our walk with Christ. It's usually something that we need to be working on, changing, starting, stopping, whatever. And so if we're doing something, even if we're not doing anything, let's just focus on it's not doing something. We're not doing anything.
Mm.
We're just a lump, right? We're just sitting on a sofa watching football. Okay, that's got its place. It can't be everything.
Mm.
It can't be everything we do. It's like, oh, where's TJ at? Sofa, watching football.
Yeah.
You didn't go to church today? No, sofa's on, football's on. Sofa was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see that even not doing anything isolates ourselves from doing something. And so our next one is honesty leads to growth. And so mm-hmm. if we want to grow, I think it has to have some honesty. Like, you know, you boil down to school, no matter how much you want it not to be, 2 + 2 = 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that teacher's going to tell you that, and you're like, got to, okay, either you accept it and move forward, or you kind of struggle with that answer, turn it into a big boy answer. Well, sin unchecked leads to more sin.
Mm.
And so being vulnerable with others allows us to gain new perspectives. You know, like if you share something with, even if it's not a mentor, it's just a friend, I think it. You're gonna get feedback sometimes, that well I didn't you're exposed to that I'm not, and so that's good to hear that information. Mm-hmm. So you're in your small group. What's the age groups again? The age range?
Oh goodness, I want to say the youngest was like 23, 24. I mean, most of our group goes from like kind of fresh out of college, married to, I think the oldest we have is someone, I want to say in their early 40s. They have 2 children.
So super young.
Super, super young.
Super young. Super young. Like say they were like 56. Super young.
Super young.
Baby chicken, really. Yeah, so I think that in our group, we have a range of probably like say mid-50s to like maybe mid-70s.
Hmm.
We're in that younger, I'm in the younger side. I'm a newer model, spring chicken. The word spring chicken was used, it was by me, but still it was used a lot. But my mentor is older than I am, and so he's got great feedback because he has a lifetime of experience.
Sure.
Just hearing that feedback and those stories and being willing to listen with that grace is important. I think you're looking for some accountability. I think if you're trying to find someone, you want to find someone who's a believer and they got some maturity, mm-hmm. and they got some even temperament kind of thing. If you got someone who's spicy, that's a jokester, you know.
Sure.
That is like, I'll tell you what your problem is. Yeah. You don't want that guy.
Yeah.
So finding someone may take some time.
Sure. And honesty, while it is imperative you're honest with the accountability partner, I do think there's some level of honesty that needs to start with you, with yourself.
Sure.
I mean, being honest, like, where are you struggling? Because you could theoretically go find an accountability partner and be like, yeah, you know, I'm fantastic. I'm 100% all areas, but you need to be honest with yourself of where your shortcomings are first before taking that to someone else.
Right. Going out, you know, you told me you have a meeting. I always give an agenda to the client before the meeting. Otherwise, we kind of meander.
Sure.
And then 20 minutes pass, we're like, well, oh, yeah, who was supposed to talk about this? So I think getting real with yourself and kind of like, hey, you know, if you are talking to your accountability partner or your mentor and you're getting together, I think they know, hey, this is kind of that kind of session.
Yeah.
You're not getting together to talk about your fantasy football picks. Mm-hmm. You're going to get together and talk about the last time you were talking about, you know, your inability to communicate as well as you wanted to. How's that going?
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, because then you can go into that meeting or that talk with an idea of like where you want to grow, because this is not meant to be like, I find an accountability partner to show them how awesome I am. And this is finding someone that you can lean on in the areas, and we all have them, that we're falling short.
If you're going to measure yourself by how awesome you are, you want to take a look at and see if you've got a special award.
Does your award glow in the dark? Because ours does.
That's right. Don't make me bring it out here and turn it on again.
I'll blind you with my flashbang.
All right. So our scripture reflection is Proverbs 27:17.
Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another.
That sounds familiar. Do we have a masterclass on that?
I think we do.
Wow. It's almost like it was created for guys. It's amazing. So if you have not seen that product, and if you are a member already, then you already got the good news, pal, because you got the hookup September 1st. You got upgraded all access. Mm-hmm. So that masterclass product is available to you for free. Yep. It just comes with your membership. If you have not purchased a membership, what you waiting for, pal? Waiting for a special award? Don't wait for it in the mail. It took like 7 weeks to get that crazy thing. So go to our website at uncommon.org and check out our Iron Sharpens Iron Masterclass. So stay tuned for our awesome sponsors ahead. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Studio 490 Digital Marketing. Elevate your business with Studio 490. Our expert team offers tailor web design, SEO, Google Ads, and social media management. Visit studio490.com because your success story starts today. All right, welcome back to our segment 3 of the isolation trap. So last segment was heavily focused on mentorship. So this one's about embracing community. And maybe it's more than just a mentor. You know, that's great, or accountability partner to have. So studies show that people who are deeply connected to their communities report higher levels of happiness and fulfillment. That's a Gallup survey from 2021.
That's funny.
Yeah.
In the height of COVID lockdown.
Right. Community. Well,
what was that?
So 2019 was the beginning of it. 2020 was like lockdown.
2021's after it.
2021, 2022, people were like, you know, revenge vacations. I'm blowing it all. So I can see people getting out into their environment. Now, from an isolation standpoint, I know several people that if you said, hey, we're going to go serve in the community today, I don't know, sort food for the homeless, or deliver bags of food to you know, a community, make their skin crawl and run for the hills. Mm-hmm. That's not their cup of tea. But I think it's important for us to get involved in our community in some fashion, because it exposes us to people. Like if you saw someone that was struggling with something you are too, Alcohol Anonymous, right? Any group out there, right? You would identify with that person and say, oh, okay, so you deal with this too. How have you kind of dealt with that? Next thing you know, you're sharing. You're kind of like, oh, so you got your other coin, or it's been 12 months for you. How are you and your sponsor handling that kind of thing? I work next to a alcoholic. That's why I know some of the stuff. So it's important for us to serve in our community, because there's someone out there that's waiting for you to show up and maybe help them in their situation, just like you may be waiting for someone to come to you and help you. And so, but living in community and serving in community is not about avoiding isolation. It's about trying to find an experience that kind of helps you build relationships. And I think that's another side effect of when we isolate ourselves, we lose the ability to develop relationships. You'd be like, I just don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to be a friend anymore.
Yeah.
And there's a book. I've never read it, but I'm going to go find it and read it. Everything I Needed to Know in Life, I Learned in Kindergarten. It's probably like a 8-page book. I mean, it feels like it's, you know, clock tick, you know, kind of thing. But you think back to some of the things you did as a child, or were maybe taught as a child, we have completely forgot as an adult. Mm. And so isolation just like shines these lights on things. We just don't know they are. Mm. But they're shining lights on areas of our lives that sometimes I know a couple of people that they just really, really struggle with developing a relationship with people. Mm. Especially if you don't gravitate toward their interest.
Yeah.
So I have a friend that's, they got one or two interests, and if you don't share those interests, they got no time for you.
Yeah.
And they struggle with being a friend. They're great. They love the spotlight. They're like, oh, you're bringing me something? Awesome. Mm-hmm. You will never be reciprocated that. Mm. And so they struggle with relationships. And I find that person has also isolated themselves. And, you know, you don't have to isolate yourself in just your house. It could be, like you said, a bunch of different areas. But impacting relationships and fellowshipping people is, boy, it takes it on a chin.
Yeah, and I think you miss out on such a great aspect of a community of believers. I mean, when we serve in a church capacity, whether that is, like you said, you know, delivering food, or even just, you know, worship team at church, or greeting, or even I know a couple people from our Bible study are all involved in like student life at our church, and they talk about it all the time that they just love being around those other fellow believers, and you know, pouring to these kids, and they just always feel like the Holy Spirit's there with them in those moments. And I think you miss out on that in such a great degree that if you aren't, you know, doing these kind of things with fellow believers, and it doesn't always have to be going to a soup kitchen, but you know, I think you can see that there is a great benefit in giving back to the community in any aspect of these that we mentioned that you don't get if you shy away from those kinds of activities.
Yeah, we have sorted a lot of food.
A lot of bagels.
A lot of potatoes. Remember that potato bag?
Yeah,
with this potato bag. I say bag, it was probably as tall as me. It was like six and a half foot tall. It had to be a couple thousand pounds of potatoes. And I smelled potatoes in my nose for the next like 48 hours. We sorted potatoes.
You wouldn't think potato would be that strong of a smell.
Oy, potatoes.
I learned how to tell a good potato from a bad potato.
Yes.
Very quickly.
And so, you know, you go serve. It doesn't need to be a Christian-based organization to get out of isolation, get out of your box. or, you know, kind of get in the community and serve. It could be, was it Second Harvest? They never talk about anything about faith. You just go there and you serve to help process food for people who need a helping hand. Mm-hmm. Even something like that, I think, is beneficial for us. It takes us outside of our own little world and helps us grow. It really Definitely. Does. Some lessons learned, the value of brotherhood, building a strong Christ-centered friendship provides, you know, a bunch of benefit, emotional as well as spiritual support. Fostering connection, being actively involved in a church or a community or small group allows us to serve others while also benefiting.
Yeah.
And kind of finding a purpose. I think sometimes when people feel like they don't have a purpose, they're like, well, what do I have to offer? I don't have anything to do. I'm just going to sit here. Sit here, I'll watch TV. I'm going to sit here, insert your favorite time suck here. Right. It doesn't really matter what it is, but you can look at, I heard a preacher say this a long time ago. He said, show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart is. Because you invest in things that you enjoy. Your checkbook indicates that. And take that from money and put it in time.
Yeah.
If you had something that could track and show you a sample of where you spend all your time.
Well, we talked about that recently, but our phones give us that breakdown on Sunday of what apps we use. So when you compare your Bible app to Instagram or Facebook,
uh-oh.
How does that compare?
We've gone from preaching to meddling. Yes, every Sunday at 9, when we're getting in to go to church, my phone buzzes with a little alert, a usage report. And I'm getting ready to start the vehicle, and I'm like, oh, I'm up 9% or I'm down 9%. Now, I use my phone for work. It's not a cop-out thing here. I do a ton of work on my phone, business and all that kind of thing. But, yeah, I spend time, you know, it's funny, it's weird. I've kind of sectioned this during the work hours. That's like, if I'm on social media, maybe 30 seconds in that work day, that's a lot. Off hours, yeah, I'm on Facebook, TikTok, whatever kind of thing, more than I am doing a work day kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. So that right there would be a good example of, well, how much do you play? Whatever. Is Angry Birds still a thing? I don't even know. It's kind of like Survivor or Dancing with Cigars because it's like 50 seasons into it. Yeah.
I watched a video recently and someone referenced Frogger as the video game they were playing. And someone says, don't you mean Crossy Roads? So Crossy Roads was an
app. Crossy Roads?
It was an app when I was growing up that was like a 3D version of Frogger. And the person's like, did you just make me age 40 years by saying that statement? Because they didn't know Frogger, but they knew Crossy Roads. So.
Crossy Roads. I think I have seen that, actually.
It's like a little chicken thing that like hops and it's all square.
That's what it was, yeah. You leveled up the kind of chicken you were. Oh, my goodness. So we kind of see we spend time doing things, and even in isolation.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to kind of categorize that. So our scripture reflection here is Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some who are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. This also is kind of like, do not forgo the gathering of the saints. Mm-hmm. It means like, you know, spend some time going to church, fellowshipping. You know, we see friends and sometimes family at church. It's important because, you know, you get together, you're like, oh, want to go grab lunch? Yeah, sure. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're talking about that instead of like, I'm just going to stay here and get more gray because I don't get outside. I'm just kind of like, just here, eat my whatever cereal, you know, Captain Crunch or whatever you're eating.
Count Chocula.
Well, it's getting ready to turn fall, so Count Chocula's right on the shelves.
Frankenberry,
exactly. It's on the shelf somewhere. So, men, if we had to sum this up, it's time to get out of our box. There's a great marriage study called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. And you know, I suggest you go read. It's a marriage study. You know, men hit boxes we get into. It ranges from our job box, sports box, sex box. There's a nothing box, kind of like that center square of bingo.
Yeah.
It's a nothing box. So when your wife or girlfriend says, you know, what are you thinking about? Nothing. You can tell her, hey, look, it's okay. I'm in my nothing box, right? This podcast is about spending too much time in that nothing box. So on our website, we have a ton of devotionals offering daily encouragement to help you stay connected in your faith community and strengthen your walk with God. So I don't think we've ever been in a generation that has had more access to resources to help us that we don't use those resources and it winds up crippling us.
Yeah, I mentioned this to my book club about the idea that because we have our Bibles on our phones and it's right there, we almost take it for granted and then don't end up using it.
Sure.
And we take it as a given, like, well, yeah, I have my Bible right here. I can use it whenever I want. And then we don't take it for the great thing that it is.
Yeah. Let's put this to the test. And you're going to ask me the same question back. Where are you in your Bible right now? What are you reading?
I am in, where was I at? I think it was Isaiah was last I was. I was redoing my Bible reading plan because I fell off for a while, and I was trying to do a two-year plan. But I'm thinking about changing it up because I've tried reading the Bible through 2-3 times. I've gotten all the way through once, but I'm wanting to look into singular Bible studies for books right now to get more deeper. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of put it a little bit to the side with the Heaven book that we're reading because it's giving scripture references that I'm looking into. So that's kind of been my focal point for the past little bit.
So I'm in the third quarter of my third year. I did a 3-year Bible plan. And right now we're in Ezekiel and Revelation. So it's kind of doing this like this chronological thing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Scary imagery. This morning I was in Ezekiel and I was trying to picture this creature that they were describing. I'm like, I cannot. Where does that go? There's, you know. Anyway, Ezekiel and Revelation is where I am right now. And so it's important, I think, that for us at any given time, someone should be able to walk up to us and say, what are you reading in the Bible right now? Mm-hmm. Where are you in the Bible? And you should be able to give an account of where you are in the Bible, and that may be a good catalyst to get out of the box and have a conversation with someone. Mm. Friend or foe, friend or accountability partner or mentor kind of thing. That'd be a great segue into a great conversation.
Yeah.
So be sure to check out all these devotionals and other resources on our website at uncommon.org. We aim to equip you and understand that doing life alone was never God's plan. Yeah. So hopefully this has kind of rung a bell that, hey, here's your push out of that box. We all need that once in a while, and so hopefully this is it. Men, it's time to get out of that box. So, Joshua, let them know.
You're going to be something. Be uncommon.
Amen.